You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womenpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.
Hello and welcome to Womenpreneur Strategies for Success podcast. Womenpreneur podcast is for you, my bold and fearless entrepreneur, to take that next step in your life. Maybe you're hesitant to start your first business, or maybe you already have and want more people on your email list, or maybe you have a six-figure business and want to elevate it to the next level. I have all the goodies for you, my friends, and all I need from you is to take massive, massive action. And our today's bold and fearless entrepreneur is Liz O'Donnell. Liz is a wannabe mogul, busy working mother, and sometimes maid. She is the founder of Hello Ladies, an award-winning website for smart, busy women, and named one of the top 100 websites for women by Forbes, and a voice of the year by Blogger. She has written a book called Mogul, Mom, and Maid. Yeah, I think we all are one of them. That looks at the choices women are making, the options they have, and the impact these decisions have on themselves, their families, and the businesses that employ them. I am ready to set the stage on fire today, guys, with Liz O'Donnell. Are you ready? Hi, Liz. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you so much. You are awesome. You wrote a book, Mogul, Mom, and Maid, and I'm all three.
Well, the goal, the goal is what's made for all of us, right?
That's right. Exactly. And, you know, you've been doing such amazing things. Before I get into the book and everything that you're doing, tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you here, where you are today. And I really want to know, what was your first ever job?
The first job I remember was a temp job working at an adult day health center. And I thought when I signed up with a temp agency that I would be, you know, working in filing cabinets or something. And so when they sent me to this center with all these senior citizens, I was so intimidated, but it turns out I loved it.
Nice. So tell me, what made you write the book?
The book came about, my girlfriends and I get together for what we call wine and wine, you know, W-I-N-E and W-H-I-N-E.
Mm-hmm. And that sounds good.
Everybody needs it. And during one of these wine and wine sessions, a really good friend of mine, you know, sometimes I don't mean to shock anybody, but sometimes we complain about our husbands when we all got together. And a really good friend of mine was talking about how she and her husband both work. She got home first because she had adjusted her schedule to meet the bus and to help the kids with homework. And when he came through the door, if the kitchen was a mess, which it often was because she was either in the middle of dinner or kids come home with backpacks full of notices, so the papers were everywhere, he'd get kind of cranky. And I was thinking, and because I'm the breadwinner in my house and my husband's home full time, I wasn't so tuned in, although I guess I should have been, to just how entrenched our views of gender are and who should bring home the bacon and who should be frying it up in a pan. So it occurred to me that so many women face these career challenges before they even walk out their kitchen door in the morning. And what happens to us at home really impacts what we're able to do in our careers.
Absolutely. I agree, because I've been there, and the whole paper stuff just happened yesterday in my house. I'm not kidding. We had this bunch of papers that came home and they were sitting there. I'm like, oh my God, okay. And, you know, I'm sure you've talked to a lot of women and a lot of working women. And I say working in, even in the house, like I work from home, but I still have my boundaries. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do any housework until like 4 o'clock. That's it. Because if I start doing that, then I'm just going to get sucked into the whole thing of, oh my gosh, my house is never clean. So tell us, what do you see as, or what do you see as the, maybe the mind blocks that women have in terms of the whole mom and the guilty feeling, and maybe I'm not spending enough time as a mom, or my house is not clean enough. You know, where's that balance? What are we striving for?
Yeah, well, we're all striving for something different. I think that's the key thing. Like, my definition of success and your definition of success could be two totally different things. So I think the biggest block is knowing that you could, I don't know what you do with, you know, you could be running marathons and I could be looking at you and thinking, oh my God, I can barely, you know, hit 2 miles and you can do 26.2. You could then be turning around looking at me and saying, how the heck did she have time to write a book and work full time? I would say the biggest mind block for women to overcome is knowing that we all have our own definition of success. So what I view as a successful life could be completely different than what you view as a successful life. And that's totally okay. So you may be training for marathons. I may be writing a book in my spare time. And, you know, I could look at you and think, oh my God, I can't run 2 miles. How could she do that? You could look at me and say, I can't bang out a blog post. She banged out a book. That's okay. We have different ideals. And so not comparing ourselves to other women, I think, is huge one to overcome. And then the other thing is there is, you mentioned, you know, what are some of the challenges, things that women can do. I mean, one thing I want to say right up front is there's also something men can do to the home front. I mean, the statistics show that women do on average 67% more housework and childcare than men do. Men can pick up a mop. Right? Men can look around and see what needs to get done. That being said, there are some women who fall into this trap of what we call maternal gatekeeping. Right. We think that we do it best. I talked to this one woman when I wrote my book who said, you know what, if I send my kids to school and I live in the Northeast, so in the winter, you really need to send the kids to school with all the gear. And she said, if I send my kids to school without their mittens, I think to myself, I'm the worst mother in the world. But if my husband sends the kids to school without their mittens, he thinks, oh, I forgot their mittens. So we sort of assign, you know, these superlatives to every action that we take.
Very interesting. That's so true. And I think, is it because that we're so, and it's so true because I do the same thing. I feel like my husband totally helps me with all the housework. I mean, I'm a terrible dishwasher loader. I cannot load the dishwasher for nuts. It's terrible. So he does really helps me with everything. As far as I don't do it, which I'm glad, which I'm totally okay with. But it's so true because as a mom, and I consider myself as a very hands-on mom, so I'm very into homework and, you know, let's make sure we're on track and all that stuff. And sometimes, I don't know if this is just me or if it's other people out there, other moms out there, but sometimes when my husband decides to help my kids with the homework, I feel like, does he think that I'm not capable enough of doing this?
Yeah.
Or is it that, are we like coming into my space right now? Because I do the homework. So why are you helping them with this? Not that I don't appreciate it and I don't like it sometimes because then I can do other things. But still, is that a mind block?
That's absolutely a mind block. And I think it's when I first started to explore this topic, I was like, why the heck haven't these gender roles shifted? And people were like, because Liz, you've only been at breadwinners really for years in the grand scheme of things. This is all still very new for men and women. And when you think about what we saw our parents do, the TV shows we were raised on, even some of the media that we still see today, these gender norms are so ingrained in our head. I took a very different path than my mother. My mother was home up until I went to high school. She baked cookies. She came out in the yard and played dodgeball with us. She was a lunch mother, a PTO person. I mean, you know, she's very hands-on at-home mother. I never intended to be that mother. I always intended to be career focused and work full time. And yet sometimes I feel the pull, like try really hard on the weekends to like be the mom that my mother was. And it's not me. And intellectually, I know it's not the plan. It doesn't fit. And yet, you know, you're just these visions of what you grew up with are embedded in our heads.
I think you brought up two really, really good points, and they totally make sense when you put it together, right? One is where be who you are as in all of these roles, and the other is where what you had said earlier is don't compare yourself to other people. I think those two are so, I guess, related to each other and yet so different.
Yeah.
That totally makes sense. I need to remember that more often. I know. So tell me, do you have any tips for our working moms or wannabe entrepreneurs who want to do it all and who think of themselves and who are superwomen, but definitely want to balance out their life and their career and all of it?
Yeah, I think, you know, the number one thing I say to women is put down the mop. And the first time I said that to a group of women, like, one of them came up to me, the poor thing, and she's like, I didn't know we were supposed to be using a mop. And so, I don't want a mop. For me, the mop was a metaphor, right? I tell women, prioritize life over laundry. Put down the mop. So what are the things that we're doing because we feel like we should be doing them because they're the things that make us a good wife, a good daughter, a good mother, a good homemaker, a good employee even? You know, Sheryl Sandberg's written about office housework. We have the same challenges in the office as we do at home. You know, we're the ones who clean up the conference room and get the meetings mm-hmm. ready, pour the coffee and all that, order the birthday cakes for the company celebrations mm-hmm. and all that good stuff. What are the things that we feel like we should be doing but don't really bring us a lot of joy or a lot of return that we don't really want to? And if we stop doing those, what space does it create to train for the marathon or write the book or turn that side hustle into a thriving business?
That's true. I like that. Do you have any more tips for us?
Well, you were talking about comparing. I always tell women, you know, don't compare. And the best way to stop the comparison is to get off of social media. Now, I run the digital firm, so I'm a big fan, and social media has many, many benefits. But when it comes to our heads, right, as women, mm-hmm. and, you know, we go on Facebook and we see the best moments of everybody else's lives, I always mm-hmm. say you can always find someone thinner, richer, smarter than you. And if you don't believe me, look on Facebook. She's there right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I mean, you've really touched a nerve there because that is so true. I recently read an article and I can't remember where. I don't know if it was a New Yorker or I don't know where it was, but there was a stat and I should have remembered this, but I'll have to Google it later, which said that the main cause of main reasons of depression and all of these things that are happening today is because you're comparing your life to others on Facebook, on social media. Mm-hmm. And it's so true because I think people don't tend to realize that everybody is putting their, like you said, the best moments, the best foot out there, but what's behind the scenes? What's going on? And it's, wow, yeah. I mean, I totally understand that and I totally believe in it.
Yeah. And it used to be, it was celebrities and you'd be in, say, the checkout line at the pharmacy or the grocery store and you'd see the cover of these magazines and some celebrity had just come, you know, returned to work. She was in the studio and she lost mm-hmm. lots of weight. She looked amazing. And intellectually, you knew that, you know, she had a team behind her. She probably didn't even do her own
right.
leg lifts, right? She probably
right,
had a team
exactly.
her thighs, right? And so intellectually, exactly. you knew, even though emotionally you were like, yeah, I still want to be able to do that. Now it's our own friends and neighbors. It's our peers. And, you know, it's harder. So sometimes we just have to shut it down.
I know. So you think that's the best thing to do is to just kind of, I mean, because people, it's such a double-edged sword because people want to be on social media and yet they don't want to see other people's and not get affected by it and be in touch with people. And then the other side, the dark side of it is it's really affecting your brain. So do you think shutting it down is the best thing that we could do?
Sometimes. I mean, I think social media is a powerful tool. And in fact, I've made some of my best business connections, met some of my, you know, newest, greatest friends on social media, because women also can be challenged with finding time to get out of the office and out of the home to network. And I found that at 9 o'clock at night, for example, when women finally get the living room to themselves and the day is sort of winding down, women turn to Twitter and have these amazing conversations. So I wouldn't say it's all bad or all good, but there are times we need to shut it down. I think the other barrier is to define, you know, 3 to 5 non-negotiables in our life. And by non-negotiable, I mean, like, what are the 3 to 5 things that absolutely matter to you that you always say yes to? So for me, it's being home at least 3 nights a week with the family. It's finding time to write every week. It's making sure I do a great job at my day job, as I call it, you know, at the public relations firm for my clients. And then, you know, it's finding time to exercise enough to maintain my sanity. And if I can do those 4 things every week, then that's a win. And that's my definition of success, you know, maintaining my sanity and health, being with my family at least 3 nights a week, doing a good job at work and finding time to write. And that's it. To me, like, that's healthy and that's good. And I don't worry about what everybody else is doing. I mean, we all have our moments, right? This is a practice. We have
absolutely.
We have to continue to think about this and reassess. But I think if women, you know, have their non-negotiables, they write them down, they put them to their mirrors, they put them in their wallets, put them on their iPhones, whatever, just focus on that.
I love that. And I never thought of it in that way. I think that's so true because if you, like you said, if you have your non-negotiables, everything else is on the side. And these are things that you don't even think about because this is now ingrained in you, right? Wow. Okay. I like that.
especially successful women, probably achieve some of that success by being really accommodating, right? We were good students, good daughters. We raised our hands in class. We volunteered for assignments when we started our career. So saying yes comes naturally to us. Saying no does not. And when you have your non-negotiables, those are your yeses, and it makes everything else a clear no. And I think that is another way that that helps women.
I like that. So do you think we can connect our non-negotiables to our overall goals?
Absolutely. So I have goals around writing. And also, it makes me feel good to write. Like, some people have to sweat an hour every day. I have to write every day. So absolutely. And, you know, and I have career goals. So that's why making the job one of the things I say yes to is important.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I totally yes, because I think that way you're able to prioritize the right things and really not worry about all the peripherals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. That's a wonderful takeaway. Awesome. Liz, let's talk about some beliefs. Can you give us some really quick top three beliefs of successful women?
Sure. Well, one is, I think you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation about women and guilt. And
yes.
I like to say that being a working mother means never having to say you're sorry. you're doing so much, right? You're doing the best you can. And it's a big job. It's a big couple of jobs. So I try to tell women, and this is a tough one. I mean, this guilt is ingrained, but I say I'm never going to feel guilty for providing for my family. That feels great. It feels great to be a provider for your family. And at the same time at work, I'm never going to feel guilty for putting family first, because there are moments you just have to do it.
Right. What about, would you say to women entrepreneurs that are maybe just starting out and they are not able to provide for their family yet? And you know how, as an entrepreneur, you really have to work hard. You have to put in those hours before you really see the dough coming in. So I don't want to say justify, really, because that's a really wrong term, but maybe not feel guilty about spending all that time and really having the faith that it's all going to come together one day.
Yeah. That is what gets into women's heads, right? I need to justify. Yeah. You know, when I would lock myself in my room every Sunday to write my book, and here I am writing about women who want more balance in their life. And then I think it's all about reframing your thoughts. So for me, I reframe that around the idea that, what am I modeling my children? And I'm hopefully, and maybe this is just what I have to tell myself, and we'll see what their therapists say when they grow up, right? But, you know, hopefully what I'm modeling is that a healthy, engaged person pursues their goals. It's okay to make time for yourself, because they're going to be parents potentially. So I want them to know that they can be a whole person, right? Not just mom, not just dad, but mom and dad are whole people. I'm hopefully modeling how to pursue your dreams. And so I think this entrepreneur who's got a spark, who's starting something, sees the long-term potential for a number of reasons, from financial to emotional to whatever it might be, or they're doing social good. Think about the example you're setting. Keep you going until the dollars start rolling in.
Absolutely. I like that. All right, number two.
I would say the second one is building a power network. So I talked about meeting these women on Twitter, and especially for entrepreneurs, finding a network that supports you of other women. I often go to women's conferences. I often speak at women's conferences, and you see women clamoring to get to the front of the room after the presentation to meet the speakers. And I understand why, right? A lot of these conferences have, you know, these incredible women on stage. Mm-hmm. But I wish sometimes that the women would stop, and rather than try to make a connection with Arianna Huffington or Sheryl Sandberg or whoever it might be, turn to your right and your left and meet the women there. Those are the women who are going to return your emails. Those are the women who are going to help you with a new client lead, a job lead, where to get your haircut, right? Or, you know, where to find a babysitter. So, the other one is just constantly cultivating your network of power women and cultivating that network before you need it.
Ooh, that's a great point. And that's awesome. It's almost like, I should have thought about that one, right? That's so awesome. Yeah, you're right. Because we're always running. We're like, oh my gosh, I want to talk to this, speaker. I want to give them my card. And then maybe see them next time and they'll remember or recognize me. Not happening, but oh my gosh, yeah.
There are so many amazing women around us.
Absolutely. You know? And most often than not, those are the women that are going to motivate you, inspire you, and maybe get you business.
versus the one person who's standing on the stage.
Exactly.
Ooh, I like that. That's an awesome one. And yeah, perfect. All right, we're ready for our last tip.
All right. So the last one I adapted from a Robert Frost quote, which I won't remember, but the gist of it is the only way through is through. So working mothers, women entrepreneurs, something I'm very focused on right now, what I call working daughters. Mm-hmm. So women who are caring for their aging parents, and there are about 26 million of them right now in the United States who are doing unpaid family care work. All of these women walk a tough road, right? To have a career, to care for your family, whether it's your children or your parents, to start a business in a world that still doesn't flow, you know, the VC dollars equally to the women as it does to the men. I mean, these are challenging roads we take. And so my mantra now is the only way through is through. I mean, when you face a tough challenge, the only way you're going to get through it is to dive in.
I love that. I love that. Got to do your work. And let's just, yeah, it's wonderful. I love those. I love all your tips. Awesome. Are you ready now for the lightning round?
We'll see what comes out of my mouth.
All right. All right, Liz, what trophy would you want on your mantle?
What trophy would I want on my mantle? Mm-hmm. Best mom, or, you know, good mom, great mom, definitely.
Yeah. All right. And what is your guilty pleasure?
I'm not going to totally share with you. My guilty pleasure is really, really, really bad television, but I'm just not going to tell you what it is, but it's bad.
We want to know now. No.
Something that helps you shut your mind off at the end of the day.
That's right. That's right. I do that sometimes. And yeah, I'm like, yeah, I just wasted an hour, but hey, it's okay. At least I'm not thinking.
Exactly.
Wonderful. What are you currently reading?
I am reading Unfinished Business, Anne-Marie Slaughter's book. She's addressing this whole idea of how we make space in people's careers of caregiving.
And what is your one productivity hack?
Ooh, my productive hack. Huh. Oh, you know what? I set a timer. I have such a hard time focusing on one thing, as you might be able to tell from my bio. So I set timers 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever I need, and try to work in that time frame and just get stuff done.
Nice. I haven't tried that. I've heard a lot of people do that, especially when you're writing and stuff. And yeah, I need to try that. Wonderful. And what is your personal motto?
Oh, I already shared it. It's that it's the only way through is through. I say it to myself all the time.
Love it. And Liz, last but not the least, what would you do differently if you were given another chance?
These are great questions, and I'm glad you didn't give me any time to think about them, because we'll see what comes out. The truth always comes out when you don't have time to think.
Right.
You know what? I would have started a business. I am an entrepreneur, which works for me. You know, I work for somebody else, but I have the freedom and the ability to do entrepreneurial things within the confines of somebody else's company. And that's a really great path, I think, for a lot of women, because it's not a reality that we can all just quit our jobs and, you know, follow our loves and the money will come. It sounds great, Oprah, but it's not the reality, right?
Right.
I think if I could do it all again, I would have started my own something earlier on. Yeah.
Wonderful. Awesome, Liz. And what is the best way to reach you?
The best way to reach me is at liz-o'donnell.com. And that will lead you to Double Forte and my new blog and the book and all that good stuff.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Liz. I really had a lot of fun. And there are a lot of golden nuggets in here that I'm sure a lot of women would love. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This concludes another episode of Womenpreneur Strategies for Success. Be sure to visit us at womenpreneursuccess.com so you don't miss any of our tips from some of the industry's leading entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. Remember, you've got the will. Let us help you find the way. Until next time.